What's up, everybody? Hello and welcome back to A&A MMA. As always, it's your boy Monty, back here to bring you the content that you need. You know, I gotta be by myself here because some other people on this podcast who are not to be named seem to just not care as much. Those people are definitely Slim. So, no, I'm just kidding. Slim was like busy today or some bullshit, and I just needed to do this little half episode anyways because we do have PFL and Bellator both this Friday. That's right, PFL will not be on Thursday this week. It's on Friday, so we get a little doubleheader action out of Bellator and PFL this Friday. Really looking forward to it. So I'm not going to do any fight reviews today. Me and Slim, I need to hear his take on Korean Zombie and Ige, and I need to hear his takes on PFL last week, so I'm gonna save those for me and him. His leads are gone. I run this show now, so Slim is just he's down bad, y'all. Pray for your favorite podcaster. Nonetheless, let's get into this thing, man. Like I said, I got two cards for you guys. I believe I'm going to be breaking down like 19 or 20 fights today. Let's get right into it, man. Starting with Bellator 261, headlined by the interim heavyweight championship of the world. It's Slim's favorite fighter, Tim Johnson, taking on Valentin Moldavsky. We got a good one here ahead of us. So, all right, let's go ahead and get it started here. All right, first fight of the night for Bellator 261, which of course is taking place at the Mohegan Sun Arena there in Connecticut. So I believe that will be starting right around 6:30, 5:30. I think the prelims start at 6:30. Don't hold me to that, though. Things change. Anyways, let's go ahead and get into this first fight of the night taking place at 145. It's John Teixeira, the Brazilian, coming in with a record of 23-5-2. He will be taking on John De Jesus, coming in with a record of 13-9. So let's start with Teixeira here, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighter. Hasn't been looking too good in his last six fights. He was on a tear there where he was, on like a, 10 fight unbeaten streak. And then ran into Daniel Veichel, who we'll be seeing later on this card. Lost to Pat Curran and AJ McKee Jr. And then last time he was out, lost to Mikuru Asukara. But he's back in the Bellator cage. That last fight was back in Ryzen, and he was on a two-fight win streak when he was with Bellator last. So let's see if he can go ahead and do this one. That one of those wins did include a victory over Kevin Kroom as well. But yeah, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu going against striking here, because we have John Platano De Jesus. Why can't I say this dude's last name? De Jesus. My goodness. So this guy, last time he was out, took on Aaron Pico. Didn't go too well. Got knocked out in the second round. But before that, was on a three-fight win streak, with two of those wins coming by way of knockout. He's fought some really good fighters throughout his career. Like I said, Aaron Pico. He beat Vladislav Parubchenko. He lost to Bill Algeo, lost to Pat Sabatini, Jason Soares, Danny Chavez, Billy Q. So, I mean, while he hasn't beaten a lot of great fighters, he has at least fought them. And, that's good to at least have those looks against the top competition. But as of right now, the odds on this one are currently sitting with John Teixeira as the minus 230 favorite, and I'm agreeing with that one. I think Teixeira is able to get this one to the ground, where he should be able to work his game. A&A MMA going with John Teixeira. Let's go ahead and move on to this next prelim, taking place in the 185-pound division. One of the more evenly matched fights on this entire card, I'd say. It's two fighters coming out of the USA. It's 6-2, Taylor Johnson taking on 5-1, Lance Wright. Starting with Johnson, this guy, man, really good grappler, only 30 years old, but, I feel like he's been really active as of late. Hasn't gotten a fight this year. This will be his first one this year, but nonetheless, has some really quality wins on his record. He beat Aaron Chambers, lost to Andre Muniz, who we saw what he went to go on and do so far in his UFC career. But that was on the Contender Series. Came to Bellator, and right now he's 1-1 in the Bellator cage. He beat Ed Ruth with a heel hook, which was ridiculous, and then lost to Johnny Eblen last time out. So it seems like... I don't want to say that because Ed Ruth's a good grappler himself, but it does seem like grapplers are the ones who can beat Taylor Johnson. You just have to be a really good grappler because this guy has wrestling himself and obviously his last win coming by heel hook. He's got jiu-jitsu as well, so he's just a dangerous fighter all around. But Lance Wright, man, the boogeyman, coming in here, making his Bellator debut. Last time he won via submission. His only loss came by an anaconda choke. That was his second to last time fighting. But other than that, this guy's had a pretty successful career so far. Hasn't fought but just one fighter that has a winning record. So, you know, that kind of says something there. Getting his first really big test, I feel like, here in Taylor Johnson. And I'm pretty confident with Johnson having the experience in the Bellator cage and beating fighters of a higher caliber that I've seen. I think I'm going to go with him. A&A MMA picking Taylor Johnson to defeat Lance Wright in this one. All right, let's go ahead and move on to this next fight. I feel like this is very much so a like a showcase of sorts. It's Jalen Bates, 2-0, taking on Cody Matthews, both these fighters from the USA. Jalen Bates, man, last time he fought, I was kind of, you know, preaching about this guy to you guys. He's such a talented young fighter. Only 24 years old. So far, he's 2-0. Had an extensive amateur record where he finished his career 9-0 in the amateur ranks. And he beat some really good amateurs. Came to Bellator last year. Got a unanimous decision victory. And then last time out, a modified guillotine choke. That was so impressive, man. This kid just keeps showing. He's got the punches and he's got the submissions. I mean, he's really well-rounded. Jalen New Breed Bates. Oh, Spyro. Come on, brother. All right, guys. My apologies. Spyro was just fucking screaming at me. I had to get this dude out of here. All right, but nonetheless, I'm back here. All right. So his opponent, Jalen Bates' opponent, that is, Cody Matthews, 1-1 coming in here. Lost his first fight, his debut, via split decision. Got back in the win column his last time out, but this is another guy who went unbeaten in his amateur career. He was 5-0 before taking that split decision loss his first time out. But, I mean, this guy is a talented fighter. He's only 23 years old, good wrestling base. I just think he's got a tough test because Jalen Bates, while he might be able to be out-wrestled in this one, does have the striking and jiu-jitsu advantage, I think. So I'm going with him, A&A MMA, picking Jalen Bates. One of the bigger favorites on the card. I believe he actually is the biggest favorite on the... second biggest favorite on the card at this point. So pretty confident in this one. A&A MMA going with a minus 455 favorite, Jalen Bates, to defeat the plus 320 underdog, Cody Matthews. Two more fights here on the preliminary card, both taking place in lightweight division. We have Isaiah Hookett taking on Corey Samuels. Another showcase fight I feel like we got going here. Making his MMA debut. I don't believe he even fought any amateur fights. It's Fresno State wrestler Isaiah Hookett making his MMA debut. Like I said, I can tell you guys what to expect from this guy. He is going to come out there and try to wrestle. That's what he's going for. That's his base. He was great collegiately at it, so he's going to have to come out here and definitely execute that, because I don't think he wants to take too many punches from Lightning Wolf Corey Samuels, coming in with a 2-2 record. This guy's got submissions. He actually won his last one via triangle choke, so I mean, he does have a submission game, which will help him. But I don't know, man. I don't think he's going to have like too much of a striking advantage, because he's not that great in the striking realm himself. So I just see him getting totally dominated on the ground in this one. I think this one's all Hookett. He's the biggest favorite on the card at minus 715 right now over the plus 450 Corey Samuels. pretty confident on this one. Going with Isaiah Hokett to defeat Corey Samuels. All right, time for the featured preliminary bout. This one's going to be a banger. In the lightweight division, we have Denmark's Søren Bak coming in with a record of 14-1. The true Viking. Yo, this guy, man, I'm telling you guys, he has some serious talent. This is a guy we're talking about here who has wins over Paddy Pimblett, Terry Brazier. I mean, so far in his Cage Warriors and Bellator career, this guy has been unstoppable. Only has one career loss. He got knocked out in a minute 22 by Alexei Matskivy. But, man, other than that, this dude has been totally untouched. Just great jiu-jitsu. Triangles are actually his specialty. He's got mounted triangle chokes, arm triangle chokes, coming from everywhere. If it's triangle, he can do it. But like I said, man, his last three wins have been so impressive. Unanimous decision victory over Terry Brazier, a majority decision victory over Morgan Charrier, and then Paddy Pimblett by unanimous decision. We know how tough of a fight that is. Yeah, man, Søren Bak, just such a well-rounded fighter. Good striking, but I think his jiu-jitsu is going to be the key in this one. He's taking on Bobby Lee, coming in with a record of 12-5. The American, only 25 years old. Alternated wins, and oh no, he had two wins in a row at one point here recently. But this guy's only lost to good fighters himself. Keelish Mota, Demarcus Jackson, Mekon Mendonca, and Joey Davis. I mean, you know, that's not a bad list of fighters to have lost to. He fought in LFA extensively before coming to Bellator, his last fight, where he lost to Joey Davis. But yeah, tough back-to-back test here for Bobby Lee, going from Joey Davis to Søren Bak. I'm pretty confident in Søren Bak in this one. He's the minus 335 favorite, and I'm going with him. So those are your prelims for Bellator 261. We now move to the five-fight main card, and it's actually pretty stacked up, man. I'm excited for this one. Let's go ahead and get into the first fight of the night. It's 4-0 Christian Edwards, the fighter from the USA, taking on Simon Beong. This guy, 7-1, fighting out of Cameroon, absolute powerhouse. Every single one of his wins, except one, I believe, is by knockout. This dude, when he throws them, you just see the talent. I mean, explosive punches, mixes in the elbows really well. I mean, he's got a good striking arsenal. His only loss was by a rear naked choke early in the first round, so does leave something to desire, obviously, with the grappling. But nonetheless, man, this guy fighting out of Genova, Italy, the Cameroonian fighter, Simon Beong, definitely a live underdog here in this one. But Christian Edwards, man, we haven't seen this guy really get tested too much yet. He's been, so far, I mean, just unstoppable. A good wrestler himself, only 22 years old. He's won his first four career fights without really much of a challenge. He's only had to go to decision once. He's only been out of the first round in two of those fights. So, I mean, so far, this guy's just been completely dominant. And, I mean, he was like that back in his amateur career as well. So I just expect Christian Edwards to keep on keeping on. This guy is an absolute beast. I could see him making his way towards a possible title shot one day. And, yeah, I'm going with him definitely in this one. I don't have any odds on this one, which is odd. Hopefully nothing happened to this fight. I don't have anything that happened to it. But I assume Christian Edwards is the favorite in this one. So, A&A MMA going with Christian Edwards in this one. Let's go ahead and move on to the 155-pound lightweight division. We have two fighters coming out of the USA. It's Miles Fury Jury coming in with a record of 19-5 overall, taking on Sydney Outlaw with his 15-4 record. Starting with Miles Jury, the former UFC fighter, 32 years old. Been on a little win streak here, two in a row. He beat Georgi Karkanyan and Brandon Gertz in his last two fights. Was on a three-fight losing streak to Benson Henderson, Andre Feely, Chad Mendez, but those are all really good fighters. Holds wins over Ricky Glenn, Mike De La Torre, Takanori Gomi, Diego Sanchez, Michael Johnson. I mean, this guy's beaten some really, really talented fighters. Of course, was on the Ultimate Fighter Season 15, so kind of an extensive run there with the UFC before coming to Bellator. And, you know, so far he's looked pretty good in the Bellator cage. Despite that one loss to Benson Henderson, he looked pretty good in his two wins. Got a tough test here, though, man. We know Sydney Outlaw brings it every time he comes to the cage. Sydney DeGunn Outlaw, 29 years old, fighting out of Pennsylvania, PA. He won his last time out also by split decision. Before that, he had lost to Michael Chandler. I believe that was for the belt. Let me double check that. No, it wasn't actually. But he also has, I dropped my phone, has wins over Roger Huerta, Roshman Fio, so some quality wins on his record as well. I don't know, man. This one's going to be a tough one. I think Sydney Outlaw probably will have the grappling advantage in this one, while Miles Jury, kind of more of a pure boxer. I don't know. This one could definitely go one of two ways. Jury could land the big punch and knock Sydney Outlaw out, or Outlaw could just completely dominate the grappling aspect of this fight. Of all the fights on this card, I'd say this is the hardest one to call. I don't know who to go with this. Just because his only loss in his last like 10 or so, I think it is 10 fights, is Michael Chandler, I'm gonna go with Sydney Outlaw. I don't know, just skill for skill, both these guys just so talented. So I'm slightly leaning towards Sydney Outlaw to defeat Miles Jury in this one. You can get those odds at Miles Jury is plus 15 as the underdog and Sydney Outlaw minus 150 as the betting favorite. All right, let's go ahead and move on to this next one. In the 145-pound featherweight division, we have Germany's Daniel Weichel coming in with a record of 40-12, taking on Keone Diggs, the American, unbeaten at 9-0. Let's start with Weichel, 36 years old, getting up there, man. In his last five fights, he is 2-3, and three of those fights ended by split decision. So, I mean, this is a guy who's actually been known to win a lot of split decisions throughout his career. But like lately, as of like his last like 10 fights, you've been seeing this guy go to decision more and more. So I'm expecting this one to probably go the distance. Daniel Weichel, while he is talented, I think he's getting towards the end of his career there. And I'm expecting Keone Diggs to come out here and just absolutely shine. The undefeated fighter, 9-0, just skill for skill, so good, man. Great leg kicks, powerful right hand. Just absolutely a savage when it comes to the ground game. I believe all but one of his submission wins have came by rear naked choke, the other one coming by knee bar. But this guy is a rear naked choke specialist. Five of his nine career pro victories have came by rear naked choke. So I'm telling you guys, watch out for Keone Diggs, man. I can really see him getting another one or two wins and getting a shot there at the 145-pound belt in Bellator. I'm really high on this guy, Keone Diggs. Last time I watched him fight, I believe I tweeted saying that this guy could be a champion one day. That's the potential I see in Keone Diggs. He is currently the minus 160 favorite over the plus 125 Daniel Weichel. I think those odds are a little bit closer because of the experience and just respect for the career of Daniel Weichel, because I think Keone Diggs should be a little bit of a bigger favorite on this one. So, he's definitely going to be going on a parlay for me. ANA MMA going with the minus 160 Keone Diggs to defeat the plus 125 Daniel Weichel. All right, let's get into this co-main event of the evening, taking place in the women's flyweight division. It's Liz Carmouche coming in, taking on Kana Watanabe. We'll start with the American, Carmouche, coming in with a record of 15-7 overall. Getting a little bit up there in age. She's 37 now, but nonetheless, so far so good in her Bellator career. She's 2-0 now, with wins over Deanna Bennett and Vanessa Porto, two really good fighters. Before that, her last fight in the UFC, she took on Valentina Shevchenko, who she had beaten earlier in her career, and Valentina avenged that loss. She also has quality wins over Luchi Pudilova, Jennifer Maya, Caitlin Chookagian, Lauren Murphy, Jessica Andrade. So when you hear those names, you think of like the top of that women's flyweight division. And that's what Liz Carmouche has always been. But she's got an undefeated prospect coming out of Japan right here. It's Kana Watanabe with a record of 10-0-1. The 32-year-old so far hasn't really been tested. Her last fight was definitely the closest she's ever been to a loss. It was a split decision win over Alejandra Lara. But when you watch Watanabe, she has great grappling. I mean, she's won via punches by crucifix. She's got a couple armbar wins, ground and pound. So when you see her just record, you see that she has a lot of grappling and a little bit to be desired on the striking side, because it's not too technical, but she does have power in her hands. I can tell you that much. This is just going to be a really tough fight, man. I'm actually leaning towards the underdog in this one, the big underdog, slight, moderate underdog. We'll put it that way. I'm going with Kana Watanabe, the plus 175 underdog, to defeat the minus 230 favorite, Liz Carmouche. Of course, Liz Carmouche is one of the best women's flyweight fighters in the world. But getting up there in age, I think Watanabe might just have the strength advantage in this one, which is surprising because we know how much of a powerhouse Carmouche is at 125. But yeah, man, I just think Watanabe is going to be able to come out here, use the wrestling, and squeak out a little unanimous decision victory. That was the co-main event. Let's get into the heavyweight interim title shot here. It's Timothy Johnson taking on Valentin Moldavsky. America versus Russia. Let's start with the American. We got Timothy Johnson, the former UFC fighter, coming in with a record of 15-6. He is 36 years old now, currently on a 3-fight winning streak. So he's definitely worked his way up here in Bellator after, you know, getting off to such a tough start. He got knocked out by Chet Congo in the first round, knocked out by Vitaly Minnikov in the first round, and then goes on to win 3 in a row over Tyrell Fortune. He beat Matt Mitrione and then avenged that loss to Chet Congo his last time out with a split decision win. You know, fought in the UFC for such a long time, faced a lot of great competition there. So, yeah, I mean, when it comes to the competition, you can definitely guarantee that Tim Johnson's seen the better of it. But he's got 29-year-old Valentin Moldavsky ahead of him here. Moldavsky's just been on an absolute tear. 5-0 in his last 5 fights with wins over Suman Nutafa. Ernest James, he's got a win over Linton Vassell, huge win right there. Javi Ayala and Roya Nelson. All of those except one by unanimous decision. When you watch this guy, he's going for the takedown. Typical Russian wrestler, going to be shooting for those takedowns, trying to get you on the ground where he can work his game from there. I think he's able to do it in this one. Timothy Johnson has been taken down in his career before. We've seen it. I think this one's all Moldavsky, man. I think we get a 5-round unanimous decision victory. Moldavsky just doing a lot of wrestling in this one. But Timothy Johnson, man, we've seen him land some big punches throughout his career. If he can clip Moldavsky, he's definitely got a chance in this one. But I'm pretty confident in Moldavsky. He's just looked so good in his last 5 fights. We're going with him. A&A MMA picking the minus 305 favorite, Valentin Moldavsky, to defeat the plus 225 Timothy Johnson. That would set up a Russian Russian heavyweight title belt there between the current champ Minnikov taking on Moldavsky. Should be a fun one, but yeah, that's Bellator 261. Make sure you guys check that out this Friday starting at 6:30. I believe you can watch the prelims on their YouTube channel. So if you want to watch those prelims, go check that out before they go to Showtime for that main card. All right, guys, that was Bellator 261. I got one more card to talk about here for you guys, and it's, of course, PFL number 6. PFL typically happens on Thursdays. This week it's going to be taking place on Friday, so just be aware of that. We actually have 12 fights on this card, which is kind of high for PFL. You usually only see them have like 9 or 10 usually. But nonetheless, man, I'm really excited for this one. It's the men's light, or I'm sorry, the men's heavyweights and the women's lightweights. And then we also have a lightweight and featherweight bout sprinkled in there on the main card. So going to be a lot of moving parts in this one, a lot of moving parts. Just be ready for that. And of course, this is the last week of the regular season for PFL, so gotta get it in while you can. Let's go ahead and start in the heavyweight division. I'm pretty excited about this one. It's Brazil's Clidson Abreu coming in with a record of 15-4, taking on USA's Jamel Jones, who has a record of 11-6. Let's go ahead and start with the former UFC fighter here, Clidson Abreu. Okay, didn't have the best run in the UFC, I will say that. He went 1-2 and one no contest. But, I mean, he fought really tough fighters while he was in there. He lost to Magomed Ankalaev, Shamil Gamzatov, and that one no contest against Jamal Hill, which Jamal Hill knocked him out with a knee and then got busted for weed, I believe. But his one win in the UFC was against Sam Alvey. He has wins over Victor Nemkov, brother of champion Vitaly Nemkov. So, I don't know, man. It's going to be tough here because we've seen Clidson Abreu get clipped before. I mean, if he's not able to get this fight to the ground, I could see him being in a world of trouble. But Jamel Jones isn't like your like the best striker I've ever seen. Definitely carries some power in his punches, though. He's actually won his last two fights via knockout in the first round. So that's promising to see. But he fought on the Contender Series, I believe, twice. I'm sorry. He fought on the Contender Series once, and he had a shot on the Ultimate Fighter as well, and lost both of those fights, by the way. So, I just think Jamel Jones wants to keep this one standing as much as he can. If Clidson Abreu is able to get this one to the ground, he has great jiu-jitsu. So it's kind of just one of those typical clashes of styles here in this one. But Clidson Abreu, I feel like he's faced the better competition so far. Kind of just gives him that slight edge for me. And I always kind of typically lean grappler over striker anyways. So I'm going with Clidson De Abreu, the minus 190 favorite, to defeat the plus 145 Jamel Jones. And Slimmy is agreeing with me on this one. I got all of Slim's picks, by the way. I'm up 2 going into this sixth and last regular season PFL card. All right, let's go ahead and move on to this next one in the 155-pound women's lightweight division. We have Caitlin Young coming in with a record of 12-10-1, the American, taking on the Brazilian, Mariana Moraes, coming in with a record of 16-11. Let's start with Caitlin Young, the striking Viking, 35 years old, won her last time out against Cindy Dandois in a fight where she looked really good. That was her first PFL fight. She has an extensive career, man. I mean, she's fought the best of the best throughout her entire career. Gina Carano, Leslie Smith, Liz Carmouche, Lauren Murphy. I mean, she's faced some absolutely outstanding competition. That's why you might look at that 12-10-1 record and, you know, be a little bit skeptical of it, but that's because she's been fighting the best of the best since she came into this. Whereas Mariana Moraes, now 16-11 overall, another fighter that's, you know, faced a lot of good competition throughout her career, fighters that made it to the UFC, a lot of them actually, Carol Rosa, Ariane Lipsky, Vanessa Porto, Laura Procopio, I mean, Norma Dumont, Vanessa Mello, the list goes on and on. But her last time out, she had the unfortunate task of taking on Kayla Harrison in her PFL debut. And, of course, Kayla Harrison dominated, got the ground and pound win 1 minute and 23 seconds into the first round. So Mariana Moraes kind of off to a rough start in the PFL, but definitely gets a much more winnable fight here in this one. She was 3-0 in her last three fights before taking on Kayla Harrison, so that's promising. Right now, give me one moment here on the odds. Caitlin Young's the minus 225 favorite over the plus 165 Mariana Moraes. A little bit too high of odds for my liking, but I do think Caitlin Young wins this one.
A&A MMA both agreeing on this one. Let me check on that. Yep. A&A MMA both going with Caitlin Young to defeat Mariana Moraes. Caitlin Young minus 225, Mariana Moraes plus 165. Let's move on to this next one. Staying in the women's lightweight division, two American fighters with the same records, both 1-1. We got Taylor Guardado taking on Laura Sanchez. We'll start with Guardado, 29 years old. Of course, had that amazing, extensive amateur record where she had wins over the likes of Raquel Pennington, Amanda Bell, Ashley Evans-Smith. Only one loss to Ronda Rousey. Went pro back in like 2012. She was supposed to have her first fight. Never ended up happening. She got her first career pro fight just last year in 2020. So crazy to think that, you know, from the time she went pro back in like early 2012 to not get your professional fight, first professional fight until 2020, just nuts, man. And she did lose that professional debut. Probably had a little bit of ring rust, a little bit of nerves. Understandable. Her last time out, though, looked pretty good against Helena Kolesnik. Guardado, just a good grappler. The thing that she's going to have to worry about in this one, though, is the size of Laura Sanchez, the former college basketball player. Laura Sanchez is 6 feet tall, and she uses her range really well. Her last time out, she lost to Gina Fabian. Fabian, a really good kickboxer, so she was able to kind of deal with that distance pretty well. I think Caitlin Young's just going to... Taylor Guardado is going to have to do her best to close that distance, because if... Laura Sanchez is just staying on the outside, using her jab and using that big height advantage she's going to have. I mean, I could see this going very bad for Taylor Guardado. Taylor Guardado is at a six inch height disadvantage right here. So she's going to have to be going for that takedown as much as she possibly can. And Laura Sanchez going to have to use that height to her advantage in this one. It's a tough fight to call. I'd say it's probably like the closest fight out of all these on this entire card. So just really hard fight to call. I think Taylor Guardado, though, after her last performance, really impressed me. So A&A MMA going with Taylor Guardado, the minus 150 favorite to defeat the plus 115 underdog Laura Sanchez. Let's go ahead and move on to this next fight. In the heavyweight division, it's Henan Fahea coming in with a record of 6-2, taking on England's Stuart Austin, who has a record of 15-6. We'll start with Henan Fahea here. Last time out, that very controversial fight against Fabricio Werdum, where did he tap, did he not tap? Apparently, the commission came to the consensus that he did tap and turned that fight into a no contest. But before that, this guy took on Jared Bandera, who's in the UFC right now, got a triangle choke. His only loss recently was due to illegal punches to the back of the head. But before that, if you take that one out and the no contest, he'd be looking at, you know, 5-0 with, I don't know what you'd even call that Fabricio Werdum fight, so we're not even going to talk about that one too much. But yeah, he'd be 5-0 if he didn't have those illegal punches to the back of the head. He's going to have to get this fight to the ground. I know he has the power for sure, but I don't think he wants to play with it too much against Stuart Austin, who's predominantly a striker, has really good technical boxing skills. This is the only man, by the way, to defeat one of the only men. Tom Aspinall has two losses, but one of them was due to an illegal 12-6 elbow. This is the only guy who, like, has truly beaten Tom Aspinall in his entire career, and he did it by way of heel hook. So he's got a lot of tricky stuff in his arsenal. He's got Kimura locks, heel hooks, and he has a lot of wins by ground and pound. So he can hold his own on the ground, but I just think he's going to be at a little bit of a disadvantage when it comes to the grappling. And he also just, like, struggles against explosive strikers. I don't see how Stuart Austin's going to be able to do too much on the ground to Henan Fahea. So I see this one maybe canceling out. We'll see a lot of good striking in this one. And Henan Fahea just, I don't know, man. Like, that Fabricio Werdum thing has me so messed up, because when it first happened, I was like, oh, gosh, this dude just beat Fabricio, like, convincingly. But he was actually caught in a triangle choke, and it looked like he tapped. So, I don't know. That one's just kind of tears me this way and that way. I'm going with Henan Fahea. So slim. We're agreeing on this one. Right now, Henan Fahea is the minus 225 favorite over the plus 165 Stuart Austin. Let's go ahead and move on to this next one in the women's lightweight division. I'm super excited about this fight. It's Jenna Fabian coming in with a record of 3-1, taking on Julija Pajic. We'll start with Fabian. Of all the 155ers in the women's division, I'd say she impressed me the most, because, you know, she was relatively unknown. We knew what we were getting out of Larissa Pacheco and Kayla Harrison, so you can't consider them too much. So outside of them, I think Fabian probably had the best performance, man. She showed that she has such good technical striking. You can tell that she clearly has been doing a lot of work there with the City Kickboxing team. This is her second PFL season now, so it just seems like she's getting pretty comfortable in there, man. And I mean, she has good power in her punches, and she uses a lot of good volume too. She fought, like I said, Laura Sanchez in her last fight, and Sanchez is such a tall fighter. Like, you'd expect strikers to maybe struggle a little bit with her, but luckily for Fabian, she's 6 foot as well. She's really tall herself, so she'll have the height advantage over most fighters that she takes on, just not Laura Sanchez. But she has my former favorite, dark horse favorite in this one. I thought Julija Pajic was going to have a good chance to come in here and maybe be the one to challenge Kayla Harrison, and then she ran into Larissa Pacheco, and Pacheco put a quick stop to that in just 51 seconds. But before that, man, Pajic looked really good. All of her wins have came by stoppage in the first round. I don't know, man. She's got good power. She's got good submissions as well. But I could very well just see Fabian coming out here and using the volume. And I just don't think that Pajic does have, like, the wrestling to go out there and just take Fabian down at will, which is going to have to be how you beat Fabian, because she's probably the best striker in 155 right now in this whole thing. So, I think Pajic is going to have to try to get to the ground as much as she can. I think that's a lot easier said than done, though. I see Fabian stopping those takedowns and using her striking to get the win in this one. A&A MMA both going with the minus 280 favorite, Jenna Fabian, to defeat the plus 210 underdog, Julija Pajic. Let's go ahead and move on to this next one in the heavyweight division. Ante Delija, Walking Trouble, the Serbian, coming in with a record of 17-4. He'll be taking on Chandler Cole, the American, with an 8-2 record. Let's start with Delija, though. Had a lot of hype coming in to this season. Everybody thought he had a good chance to come in here and be that, like, dark horse that wins it all. Ran into a right hand by a man named Bruno Capoloza week one. And, 46-second knockout for Capoloza over Delija. It was one of the more stunning performances of this entire thing. But Delija, man, he really is such a talented fighter. He's got such power in his hands, and he's got good grappling as well. I think he just got a little bit unlucky in that last fight. I think he kind of ran into that punch. I just don't see how Chandler Cole wins this one, to be totally honest with you. I think Delija at minus 400 is actually shorted on the odds. Cole, coming in 26 years old, he's on a 3-fight win streak, all of those by knockout in the first round. So you can tell when you watch this guy, he's got power in his hands. All of his wins have came by stoppage, okay? But I don't know if getting in a firefight with Delija is his best idea, because both of his losses, Cole that is, have came by knockout in the first round. So, man, I'm telling you right now, I don't see this fight going over 1.5 rounds, and I just think Delija goes out there and deletes Cole in the first round. So A&A MMA agreeing on this one. We're both going with Ante Delija to defeat Chandler Cole. All
right, guys, two more prelims for you here. Starting with in the women's lightweight division, we have Brazil's Larissa Pacheco coming in with a record of 14-4, taking on Helena Kolesnik, the Ukrainian, with a record of 5-3. We'll start with Pacheco, the two-time runner-up in PFL, longtime PFL fighter now, former UFC fighter. I mean, since she's came into like the big promotions, UFC, she's fought Jessica Andrade, Jermaine Durandamy. She has a win over Carol Hossa. Macy Shea San beat her in the Ultimate Fighter, and then she's lost twice now to Kayla Harrison. But like I said, last time out, man, such an impressive performance over Pajic, getting that first round, ground and pound, TKO victory. She has wins over Sarah Kaufman and Bobby Joe Dalziel in PFL. So I think it's pretty agreed upon that she is the second best lightweight in this division right now, in behind Kayla Harrison. And I think she's the only one who can challenge Kayla Harrison, despite having two unanimous decision losses to her. I would not be surprised to see Pacheco get another win here and set up that crash course for Pacheco versus Harrison for the third time for $1 million. She's taking on Helena Kolesnik, though, who, the Ukrainian, 5-3, good striker, has a Muay Thai background, but man, she does not have a chance in this one. This one's going to be all Larissa Pacheco. Pacheco's got more power with her strikes, way better on the ground. There's just no way Kolesnik can win this. A&A MMA both going with Larissa Pacheco to defeat Helena Kolesnik. Right now, Pacheco's the -625 favorite over the +425 Helena Kolesnik. Let's get into this featured preliminary bout in the 265-pound heavyweight division. It's Bruno Capoloza coming in with a record of 11-5, taking on Mo Darice, 8-3. We'll start with the Brazilian, Bruno Capoloza. I mean, last time out just showed stupid hand speed, 32 years old. Got that knockout over Ante Delija his last time out. Before that, he lost to Yuri Prochaska. Yuri. But other than that, he's 4-1 in his last five fights. He does have a tendency to get caught by big punches, so you're going to have to watch out about that one. But, dude, last time he fought, this dude just blew me away with the hand speed and how many punches he was able to put on Delija in such a short amount of time. But Muscle Mo Darice, coming in 33 years old. Last time out, he lost to Denis Goltsov. He's kind of, you know, struggled after getting off to a pretty good start in the PFL. He just kind of has hit a little bit of a rough patch here in his last four fights. He's been in his last three losses, he's been finished in all of them. So I think Capoloza comes out here and tries to take advantage of that, throws those big punches that we've seen him put out before. A&A MMA both going with Bruno Capoloza, the -265 favorite to defeat the +200 Mohamed Darice. That was your preliminary card. You can catch all of that on ESPN Plus. But for this four fight main card, you can catch this on ESPN 2. And again, that's on Friday. Let's go ahead and get into this main card. Starting in the heavyweight division, I'm really excited for this one. It's Denis Goltsov coming in, the Russian, 26-6, taking on Brandon Sales, the American, 6-1. We'll start with Goltsov. Right now, the dark horse favorite to win this, I'd say. His last time out, beat Mo Darice. Before that, lost to Ali Isaev. But he has quality wins over Satoshi Ishii, Kelvin Tiller, Jared Rosholt. All those in the PFL, by the way. I mean, this guy, man, you know, before he ran into Asayev, was on a six-fight win streak and looked really, really good his last time out. But he's taken on Brandon Sales, who's had upset of the year so far in the PFL. The 40-year-old came out and beat Muhammad Usman in his last fight, where he got the rear naked choke and looked amazing. 5-1 in his last five fights, currently on a four-fight win streak with wins by Americana, you know, a submission there, ref stoppage by strikes and punches,
rear naked choke, just been getting it done all different kinds of ways. This guy really has impressed me. He doesn't look too imposing when you look at him, but when you watch him fight, this man is an absolute savage. I'm really excited for this fight, but I think this one's all Denis Goltsov. ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with the minus 305 favorite, Denis Goltsov, to defeat the plus 225 underdog, Brandon Sales. Let's move on to this next one. Taking place in the 145-pound featherweight division, the final fight of featherweight. The standings will be finalized after this fight. Such big implications between two-time champ Lance Palmer taking on Mavlid Kabulayev. Cannot wait for this fight, man. Lance Palmer, 22-4 overall. The American fighter, like I already said, has won this thing two times before. His last time out got dominated by his college wrestling rival, Bubba Jenkins. And before that, man, he was on an absolute terror. I think he was on an 11-fight win streak before running into Bubba Jenkins. And $2 million in between then, all right? I mean, this guy is an absolute killer. Well-rounded. Anywhere the fight goes, this guy is okay with it. Trains at Team Alpha Male. I believe he wrestled at Ohio State University. And he's got powerful punches as well. But Kabulayev is the complete package. This guy's unbeaten in his entire professional career. 16-0-1. Man, this fight's so tough to call. We just haven't seen too many people really test Mavlid Kabulayev. I'd say the only one who has really is Andre Harrison. But other than that, I mean, it's been pure domination by this guy. Of course, he's got the fastest knockout in PFL history. 10 seconds with a flying knee, which is one of his specialty strikes. He's got elbows, powerful punches, and that grappling. When he has to fall back on the grappling, he's got that too. Oh, man, I don't know, man. Skill for skill, these guys are so similar. It's just such a tough fight to call. I'm going with Kabulayev just because nobody's been able to beat him before, and we just watched Palmer get out grappled his last time out. It's a tough one to call, man, but ANA MMA, only disagreement on the card. I'm going with Mavlid Kabulayev, the minus 140 favorite. Slim's going with the plus 110 underdog, Lance Palmer. Let's move on to this next one. Another fight that is going to finalize the standings, this time in the lightweight division. It's showtime. Anthony Pettis taking on Roush Manfio. We'll start with Pettis, the American, 24-11 overall. We know what this guy's done, man. Former interim champion. I think he had an interim belt and a regular belt. But throughout his entire career, has fought the top of the top that 155 pounds has to offer. I mean, from start to finish, this guy's been fighting the best of the best. His last time out was one of his least impressive performances of his entire career, when Clay Collard just absolutely put it on him. And Anthony Pettis just looked all out of sorts. He didn't look like himself. But can he turn it around here? If anybody can make a turnaround like that, it's Anthony Pettis. But he's going to need it, man, because Roush Manfio is nothing to play with. Last time Manfio fought was against Joelton Lutterbach, and he won a split decision in that one. That was the PFL debut for Roush Manfio. Manfio, man, he's got good punches himself. Doesn't use his jiu-jitsu as much as he should, which I think could be his downfall. I don't know, man. I just think Pettis is going to be able to stop the takedowns if Manfio wants to take it there. And Pettis should have the striking advantage in this one. I thought that last time out, too, and he got absolutely pieced up by Clay Collard. So I don't know, man. I think Pettis should be able to stop the takedowns and then use the effective striking in this fight. He's only a minus 200 favorite over the plus 155 Roush Manfio. But ANA MMA agreeing on this one. We're both going with the favorite. We're taking Anthony Showtime Pettis. Which takes us to our main event of the evening. I don't know if I've ever been less excited for a PFL main event. It's Kayla Harrison, 9-0, taking on Cindy Dandois, 16-6. You guys have heard me talk about Kayla Harrison. I love Kayla Harrison. Ohio girl, Olympic champion, unbeaten MMA fighter, two-time PFL champion. Complete package. Good striking, dominant grappling. Cindy Dandois, you guys have heard me talk about her. The least talented of all women's fighters I've ever watched. And I'm sorry, Cindy Dandois, if I ever saw you, I would give you a hug and be really respectful. I'd probably even ask you for your autograph. But, oh, Cindy Dandois, when she throws hands, not good. No grappling at all. The Belgian fighter, just, oh, man. No wrestling at all. I shouldn't say she doesn't have grappling, because she does have submissions. But, listen, if you want to talk about Cindy Dandois in a bright spot here, she's 5-1 in her last five fights. Or, I'm sorry, 4-1 in her last five fights. She lost her last time out to Caitlin Young. But she was on a four-fight win streak before that. Two fighters that were 0-1, 0-1, 0-0, and 1-2. So, yeah, man. I don't know. I just do not know how Cindy Dandois could possibly win this one. I really don't. I mean, I can't hate too much, though. She's beaten the likes of Megan Anderson. You know, that's Raina Myra. She's got some good wins on her record, but most of her wins have came against fighters with losing records. I just have no honest clue how in the world Cindy Dandois could even possibly win this fight. Right now, Kayla Harrison is a -3,335 favorite. You heard that right. 33-35. -33-35. I believe in MMA, that is the biggest favorite I've ever seen in all my years. Cindy Dandois +1,100. You know what? Fuck it. I might put 5 on Cindy Dandois at those odds. But Kayla Harrison's not losing this fight. Come on, man. Ugh, this matchmaking was... They could have gave Kayla Harrison somebody else, but instead of feeding Cindy Dandois to her, oh, it's not going to be pretty. I see this one ending probably in less than a minute, okay? All Kayla Harrison. This is going to be a complete dominant performance. A&A MMA going with Kayla Harrison to defeat Cindy Dandois. -33-35. What the... I mean, you can't even... like, bet that anyway, really, other than Cindy Dandois. Anyways. That was PFL number 6. Only one disagreement by me and Slim on that one. It's, Kabulayev and Palmer. Other than that, all agreements from us here, at A&A MMA. It looks like with that one disagreement, I will be going into the playoffs with at least a one-fight lead over Slim. So I'll keep you guys updated on that one. I believe me and Slim will be recording either tomorrow or Friday so we can get that out to you guys by Saturday so you can get your MMA news. We can go over Korean Zombie versus Ige. We got PFL 5 to talk about. So we got to talk about that robbery of Rory McDonald. So yeah, just a lot to talk about. And then of course we'll be going over that UFC card that's coming up this weekend. Cyril Gane taking on Alexander Volkov. We're really looking forward to it. So keep it locked here with A&A MMA. A little bit of housekeeping real quick. Go check out Luck Changers. My guy Nate was just live on TikTok, if that's your guys' thing, tonight, talking about the Eastern Conference Finals. So if you need any betting advice, go check out Luck Changers. I think I'm also doing a Monty the Italian segment where I'll be giving you guys my favorite UFC parlay this weekend. So go check out Luck Changers if you're looking for some betting advice. I don't know what happened to our Patreon. I got to get that figured out. So don't worry about our Patreon right now. And then shout out to my cat Spyro. And of course, follow us on Twitter. You can find us at A&A MMA. That's A underscore, or I'm sorry, the letter A, the word and, the letter A underscore MMA. There you go. Sorry I stuttered so much, you guys. It's so hard talking by yourself doing a podcast about MMA, unless you're Chael Sonnen. All right, y'all. I'm out of here. I will catch you in the next couple days where Slim will be back and you can enjoy his beautiful voice. So I will see you guys then. Take care of yourself. Peace.